It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit.
Big step, big step, big step, big step. What's popping? Hold on a second. I got to hit up motherfucking 100. I got like 4 windows going on. I got to give like 5,000 big ups. I owe you motherfuckers big ups. It's 20 motherfucking 15. I haven't done a show in about 3 or 4 weeks. I got to give mad big ups. If you haven't noticed, you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio, your host, your motherfucking most, Nestorius, a.k.a. Nestor Rodriguez. What's poppin'? ¿Cómo está? Konnichiwa.
What's up,
What's
Rich?
Going on? It's my man Rich. Rich, you haven't been on the show in like probably like 4 months, right?
4 months?
Well, I haven't done the show in close to a month. So
It's probably been 6 weeks.
I do want to apologize to my faithful listeners. I owe you some mixtapes. It's just been a hectic right around Thanksgiving, like, you know, driving right around the corner, it just, and then it's like New Year's, and then, you know,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's just, it goes, man.
It's crazy, but it's all good, man. Things are good. Life is good. I hope you guys all had a wonderful holiday. I hope everything was good and everything was all that you wanted it to be.
I had a great time.
Yeah. I hope that everything was magically delicious. You know, I hope none of you made any New Year's resolutions, because you ain't going to fucking live up to any of them. You know that. Stop wasting your time and your energy. You know what I mean?
There's no need to be depressed 2 weeks into the 2 weeks into the year.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, you're wasting your fucking time.
You start off so happy, so excited, yeah. And then 2 weeks you're like, I'm going to Fat Burger. Fuck it.
That's Rich. Rich goes on. Rich's girl is in town. She has him hiking and fucking drinking smoothies for like about 3 weeks.
Don't say anything incriminating.
For like 3 weeks. I'm not saying nothing incriminating. I'm just saying. 3 weeks. He's fucking like, what do you do? You want to go get a burrito? Nah, I'm going for a hike. Yo, you want to go get something like a quesadilla? Nah, I'm drinking a smoothie. I'm like, his girl's in town. He whips his ass into shape. Soon as she leaves, he's like, yo, what's up, man? You want to smoke some burrito crack? Yo, what's up? You want to get a triple cheese quesadilla with some extra cheese and some crunchy corn flakes on it? Yo, you want to get a triple cheeseburger with some pork fried fucking sesame seeds on that shit? I hear that. I'm going to tell you
something.
When
the cat is away, the mice will play.
I'm going to tell you something about fucking New Year's resolutions. Fuck them. Fuck you. I'm going to do what I have to do until I get tired. Until I get tired of the pain. Let me explain something to you. There's something that said, pain is the touchstone of spiritual growth. Let me explain that shit to you, for all you Nestorians, okay? What that means is that you are not going to change until the pain is so greater than the pleasure you're getting of what you're doing. Then and only then will you be saying, fuck, I need to do something about it. And if you're like me, you find a way to color it from a different angle until, you know, you get tired of the pain from that color from the different angle. And that shit could go on for years. Yeah. So don't kid yourself, okay? I'm just saying that. Don't kid yourself. Big up! All right. So I just want to give an update about my boy Simon Kaufman, one of our co-hosts here on Nestorius Public Radio, my homeboy. Simon Kaufman from Seattle. He went up to Seattle to pursue his stand-up comedy career. And I went on tour with him for a little bit, for a nice run, 3 or 4 days. And, you know, he's doing his thing. He's doing all right. And then something happened, like about 2 weeks ago, where this wacko, I'm gonna get you guys the guy's name. Not that it matters. This wacko that called himself the Antichrist comedian or the Antichrist comic goes to this comedy show, gets up on stage and starts doing some crazy shit that has nothing to do with comedy, as often happens.
Yeah, the nut jobs come in.
Yeah, because stand-up comedy does attract people who need bipolar medication or just plain old therapy. They're not comedians. What they need is an outlet, a lot
of
them.
Yeah.
So,
and they think standing in front of an audience of total strangers.
And it works. But then some of them have gone way too deep, like this dude. So the guy who does this particular show, and forgive me, I don't know, you know, these guys' names. I read the article. If you're interested, what you do is, let me finish the story. So this guy, he's banned supposedly from this particular show.
Yeah, anyway, don't say that guy's name on because you don't want to give him any press because that's all he wants.
No, I'm not talking about his name. I'm talking about the comedian.
Simon and the comedian that was up.
Yeah. So the next week, the guy comes back, the fucking bipolar motherfucker comes back with an aluminum bat. And when homeboy, who's running the show, who basically told him he couldn't perform, is up on the mic, you know, starting the show, this motherfucker comes up with a bat and cracks him in the head. Mm. And Simon... Simon just jumps up and tackles the guy. And at the same time, all the other comedians come up and tackle the guy as well. And they all fall on Simon and Simon broke his fucking ankle. So now he's a super Jew. He's got fucking titanium bolts going through his ankle and, all sorts of good shit. But Simon's doing all right. I just want to, I want to give a big up to Simon. Big up, Simon, you fucking crazy Jewish motherfucker.
Super Jew.
Super Jew. Yeah, not to be confused with Super Jail, but Super Jew.
Yeah. The comedian's name is Dylan Avila?
Dylan Avila. But you can Google Dylan Avila, Seattle comedian, gets hit in the head with a bat. Mm-hmm. Just Google it. You'll see the story. It's actually disturbing. It did make national news. It made it all the way to New York. The New York Daily News reported it. It did make national news. It's fucked up.
Simon get in there?
I don't think so, man, because Simon...
that's some bullshit.
I know. Well, Simon, what happened is Simon was the first guy to jump on the guy.
Right.
But then
he was on the bottom of the dog pile.
Right. He's the first guy on the bottom of the dog pile. So the last guy that was on top is the guy that got the publicity. That's how it works. That's the hierarchy.
They start peeling back layers fucking onion.
Yeah, that's the hierarchy of when you do a shit. You know what I mean? So, like, in the future, if you want to do something that you want to get some recognition or whatever, you got to plan it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got
to
time it.
You got to be the last guy at the explosion. You know what I mean? You can't be the first responder. So, anyway, but Simon's doing all right. They arrested this fucking guy. The comedians jumped on him and,
Did he get his surgery?
Simon got a surgery. Hey, if you want to go to Simon's page, if you're not a friend of Simon on Simon's Facebook page, he's a friend of mine. So you go to Nestorius, you go to Nestor Rodriguez, Facebook.com/ Nestor Rodriguez, or you can go to Nestorius Public Radio, Facebook.com, Nestorius Public Radio, and just look up Simon Kaufman, KAUFMAN. He's, you guys have been listening to the show.
Wish him well. Because I haven't been on Facebook.
Yeah.
I haven't yet. But you know what? I'm going to do it online right now on over the air. Simon, I hope you get better. I hope you're
Simon doesn't even listen to the show, so you're wasting your time.
Don't listen to this one.
Simon don't listen to this fucking show. Simon just, when he's on the show, he's doing mad shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's got the Archie Bunker flesh
exactly,
in the background.
Exactly. But when he's not on the show, he don't fucking.
He's busy. He's making shit happen. Yeah. He's doing things.
But all I want to say is that Simon's the real deal. You know, a lot of people talk shit, and then there are people who do shit. So I just want to say that. That's one thing about Simon is I give Simon mad props. I did stay with him in his neighborhood where he grew up, and when he says that he grew up in the hood, he grew up in the hood. Mm-hmm. There's nothing but black. Like he's got like one condominium complex and four houses that are Jews, and everyone else around them is just blacks, like thugs. Like, yo, what's up, knuckle? You know, it's like, yo, how do you fucking? Anyway, it's an interesting dynamic or an interesting community, I should say, up in Seattle. Mount Rainier, I think, is a Rainier.
They make beer, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's a Rainier neighborhood. Anyway, we're gonna move on. I just wanted to give props to Simon Kaufman, but then after a little message.
This is Michael Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
That's right. Just checking, make sure.
Shit, you know Michael Chiklis?
Just making sure that you know what the fuck you're listening to. You know what I mean? Because you ain't just bullshitting here, wasting your time just because you haven't paid your electricity bill. You're learning shit here. You know what I'm saying? You're learning shit. And the shit is like backed up, you know what I mean, with all sorts of motherfuckers. Anyway, I was just going through, like, what are we going to talk about today, you know, and...
What aren't we going to talk about?
Exactly.
This is our two divergent minds in action.
Welcome to ADD Theater. Anyway.
Let's go ride bikes.
So, yeah. Let's gargle with mouthwash. So I was reading this article, this new movie, called Going Clear is the documentary that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading about all these documentaries that are coming out. They're going to be released on, that are going to premiere at Sundance. Anyway, who the fuck is the director? I didn't even write the guy's name down. Oh, man. I should just jump off a cliff. The director is, I think it's Peter. Hold on a second. Anyway.
It's right here. I'll get it. You keep reading. I'll punch up the name.
So the movie is
Go. It's Alex Gibney.
Thank you. Alex Gibney, who directed Enron, The Smart Men in the Room, or whatever the hell that documentary was.
The Smartest Men in the Room.
Men in the Room. And he directed a few other documentaries. Very, very, very good, interesting documentarian. Anyway, his new movie is called Going Clear, and it's premiering at Sundance Film Festival. If you're in Sundance and you're listening to us live, it's going to be at the Mark Theater, January 25th. That's a couple days from now. Sundance Film Festival opens up this weekend.
It's going to play on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of hoopla. Anyway, then it's going to have a limited theatrical run on New York and Los Angeles, which probably means the Lemley Theater on Santa Monica and some cockamamie theater right next to a fucking jerk-off booth in New York City. And then finally, it's going to get its initial airing March 16th on HBO.
It'll probably play at what we would know as the Sunset Five.
Yeah,
isn't that a Sundance-owned theater?
It's possible.
I think that's a Sundance.
It's possible.
Theater.
Sunset Five is possible, or the New Art. It all depends on who's distributing the film. But basically, it's based on Lawrence Wright. Lawrence Wright's book called Clear: Scientology, Hollywood, and the Prison of Belief. And Lawrence Wright was an ex-Scientologist, and he's one of many who, you know, defected, if you will, the Church of Scientology organization, only to write, you know, memoirs and all sorts of shit and, you know.
And that's not an over-exaggeration of the term, you know, just to be theatrical, defecting, because to get out of there,
well, they call
people have to escape. I mean, they
call it something else. I forget the name. We're going to get into.
We're going to get into the
history of it in a moment. I just wanted to say, well, the film features vintage footage of the enigmatic church founder L. Ron Hubbard as he builds his empire, as well as rare sequences shot inside Scientology gatherings, some of which include the church's biggest star, Tom Cruise. The movie is Going Clear, which is a term, clear. Getting clear is something that you strive for while you're undergoing classes and
brainwashing.
They got names for it. You get audited. You get audited and they tell you, do you jerk off a lot? Yeah, come inside. We got a room for you in the back. Do you eat too many beans? Yes. Let's take them to room number 3 and we'll give you an audit.
You a lot of Metamucil.
Yeah, do you curse while you're driving? Oh, yeah, we got another room over here for you. Let's sit you down. And they basically...
Let's flatline you.
Their philosophy is that, you know, they're gonna, you know, clear you of all sorts of negativity and all sorts of fucked up patterns that obstruct you from being the best you and for you living your true potential, which basically will help you get all your New Year's resolutions in order. So if you
and then you start jumping on a couch on Oprah and
No, that's the least of what you can do. I mean, that's if you can jump on Oprah's couch, then you're doing good.
I don't know why they gave him so much shit for that.
Anyway, look, why don't you read? Maybe I'll read the Wikipedia and then you'll read the. Let me read the Wikipedia and then you'll go into the Daily Beast article.
Oh, yeah, the 15.
Now just read some of this because this is interesting information and we'll just go through it. And if at some point you have Tourette's, Rich, and you want to jump out and say something, please, channel your inner Simon, okay? Okay, so the Church of Scientology is an organization devoted to the practice and the promotion of Scientology, a new religious movement. The Church of Scientology International is the Church of Scientology's parent organization. So let me just say this. So when L. Ron Hubbard came up with this idea as a religion, he founded the Church of Scientology, and then he founded all these other different organizations that would go underneath the umbrella of, and he's got all these different names for all these organizations. Basically, it's a big circle jerk of kumquat juice to prevent, having to pay taxes and to protect his copyrights and his images and all this other shit. Mm-hmm. Very smart stuff. Anyway, the Church of Scientology International is the Church of Scientology's parent organization and is responsible for the overall management, dissemination, I told you, jerking off, and propagation of Scientology. Every Church of Scientology is separately incorporated. There you go. So, if you sue one of them, you're not fucking up the whole organization.
You can't cut off just the head.
Yeah. It's multi-armed.
You cut off one arm, another one grows.
It's a very interesting thing. Every Church of Scientology is separately incorporated and has its own local board of directors and executives responsible for its own activities and corporate well-being. The first Scientology church was incorporated in December 1953 in Camden, New Jersey, by L. Ron Hubbard. Its international headquarters are located at the Gold Base, located in an unincorporated area of Riverside County, California. The location of which is kept secret from most Scientologists. This is an ongoing theme. There's a lot of secrecy involved, and only certain members that reach a certain level of stature can, are privy to certain information and so on and so forth. It doesn't just end at, like, the Church of Scientology, that's it, and then you can go into everything. There's different levels of it and different actual buildings where different classes are taught and all kinds of wacky shit, man. Mm-hmm. The highest authority in the Church of Scientology is in the Church of Scientology International, CSI, all right? And the Religious Training Center, RTC, whose headquarters are in Los Angeles. CSI is the mother church and has the mission of propagating the Scientology creed around the world. RTC's Religious Technology Center, RTC's main function is to preserve, maintain, and protect the purity of the Scientology technology in accord with Hubbard's original research and to ensure its proper and ethical delivery. The Scientology Missions International is under CSI and RTC. You see what I'm talking about? You don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about so far. RTC, CSI. There's all this jerk-off shit that goes on. It's like people are like, all right, fuck it. Just brainwash me already. Just do it. Anyway, under CSI and RTC, and functions as the central church of Scientology missions worldwide. Although in some countries it has attained legal recognition as a religion, the church has been the subject of a number of controversies and has been described by its critics as both a cult and a commercial enterprise. Let me just give you a little bit of the history real quick. So the first Scientology church was incorporated in Camden, as I said, New Jersey, in 1953 by L. Ron Hubbard and his wife Mary Sue Hubbard and John Galusha. Although the Hubbard Association of Scientologists International, and there's another acronym, HASI, H-A-S-I, not to be confused with Hasid, the Jews that Simon is associated with,
Or short for hacienda.
Right, which is where you go in Mexico and get yourself some pan dulce in the morning with some coffee. had already been operating since 1952. So let's go back. So 1953, the first Scientology church is incorporated, but the Hubbard Association of Scientologists International had already been operating since 52. And Hubbard had been selling Scientology books and other items. Soon after, he explained the religious nature of Scientology in a bulletin to all Scientologists, stressing its relation to the Dharma. The first Church of Scientology opened in 1954 in Los Angeles. Okay? So there's a lot of conflicting information. It says the first Scientology church was incorporated in December of 53 in Camden, New Jersey. But yet, the first Church of Scientology opened in 54 in Los Angeles. So there was actually no church that was opened. It was incorporated.
You can't just open the doors. You got to, like, there's some planning. You got to get a couple of people together.
Well,
you know,
Harvard's,
I mean, by night, it took probably took them a year to get some people together, get some kind of a doctrine, together.
So Hubbard stated a civilization without insanity, without criminals and without war, where the able can prosper and honest beings can have rights and where man is free to rise to greater heights are the aims of Scientology. So Hubbard had official control of the organization until 1966 when this function was transferred to a group of executives. Although Hubbard maintained no formal relationship with Scientology's management, he remained firmly in control of the organization and its affiliated organization. So again, at this point, he's handing off the legal responsibilities to a group of executives, but yet he's in control. So there's a lot of this, you know, connected.
Finger pointing and
there's
multiple
unofficial
layers
connections and so it's like a web of all sorts of shit.
Makes it difficult to pin anybody down on anything.
Right. So in May of 1987, following Hubbard's death, David Miscavige, this is a very important name, one of Hubbard's former personal assistants and video photographer, assumed the position of chairman of the board of the Religious Training Center.
Assumed the position.
The RTC, a nonprofit corporation that administers the trademark names and symbols of Dianetics and Scientology. Although RTC is a separate corporation from the Church of Scientology International, remember CSI, whose president and chief spokesperson is Heber Jentsch. That sounds like a Jewish dude. Heber Jentsch. Miscavige is the effective leader of the movement. So this dude, David Miscavige is also known as the chairman of the board, the COB.
Right.
Anyway, I'm going to just pass it on because I can run into this fucking thing. But let me see. Scientology describes itself as the study and handling of the spirit in relationship to itself, others, and all of life. According to the Encyclopedia of American Religions, it is concerned with the isolation, description, handling, and rehabilitation of the human spirit. One purpose of Scientology, as stated by the Church of Scientology, is to become certain of one's spiritual existence and one's relationship to God or the Supreme Being, which is fucking interesting, you know what I mean? That in and of itself, when the religion is based on science fiction and mentions nothing about God, right? So one of the major tenets of Scientology is that a human is an immortal alien spiritual being termed a thetan that is presently trapped on planet Earth in a physical meat body. Hubbard described these thetans in the space opera Cosmogony. The thetan has had innumerable past lives, and it is accepted in Scientology that lives preceding the thetan's arrival on Earth lived in extraterrestrial cultures. Descriptions of space opera incidents are seen as true events by Scientologists. All right. Why don't you take it over from there, Rich?
Okay, and let me tell you how it really started.
Why don't you read the 15 Scientology...
Let me tell you how it really started.
Why don't you read the 15 Scientology revelations from Lawrence Wright's Going Clear?
Yeah.
Lawrence Wright, remember, is the guy who wrote the book that's titled Going Clear... it's going clear, Scientology, Hollywood, and the prison of belief. That's Lawrence Wright. He's an ex-Scientologist who stepped off and wrote this book.
Right.
And this other guy, David, made the documentary based on their book. Okay. Kick it.
So I'm going to start off, you know, I'm going to jump around. Maybe I'm going to see what, but
start with Hubbard's Hollywood career, because that other shit is retarded.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's, you don't have to get into that Clearwater shit. We can get into all that.
No. I'm not going to get into all that. You're talking about how it started.
When he was 23.
So he was, all right. When he was 23, Hubbard married Margaret Louise Grubb, or Polly, to those of you who knew her intimately. To support his family, he began writing pulp fiction with tremendous speed and imagination. On New Year's Day, 1938, he had a dental operation under gas anesthetic, and he believed the secrets of the universe were revealed to him, as many people did back in 1938 when they first came into contact with gas anesthetic.
Yeah.
And he began... What the fuck is this? It's all so clear now. Oh, it all makes sense. And he began to concentrate on writing science fiction. He also longed for fame as a screenwriter in Hollywood, but had no success despite a few attempts. It is one thing to make that universe believable and another to believe it. That is the difference between art and religion, Wright writes. So that's you know, a little bit about him. He was in the Navy.
Going to the origin of Dianetics.
But the origin of Dianetics.
Well, basically, he was in the Navy, and he claims that he was a fucking war hero, and he won a Purple Heart. And the facts are that the Navy doesn't give out Purple Hearts; they give out. So there's a lot of bullshit.
There's a lot of bullshit
that's contradictory to what the Church of Scientology teaches and promotes information based on L. Ron Hubbard. And a lot of it is discredited.
It's all crap. Yeah. But I love his parenting style. When Sarah wanted to leave him, Hubbard and a man who might have carried a gun and abducted their baby daughter, Alexis, then they kidnapped Sarah. He told her that if he tried to leave him, he'd kill Alexis, then later claimed he had killed the baby already. Mm-hmm. Cut her into little pieces and dropped pieces into the river. Mm-hmm. Sarah said in 1951, she filed for divorce, claiming Hubbard to be hopelessly insane. Polly wrote a letter of support saying Ron is not normal. Hubbard took the baby to Cuba and kept her in a crib with wire over the top of it. Later, Sarah was able to trick her husband to get her child back, and she walked out of his life on the happiest day of my life.
Are you reading? Where are you reading this?
This is on the 15 Revelations.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. But this is what, you know, we listened to how you said it all started according to the Wikipedia, but according to this Wright guy, how it all started. I'd like to start a religion. That's where the money is. Now, living in L.A., 20 years, you know, like, yeah, you talk to people and all that. And this is really how I thought it all started, because those were the rumors, is that he was sitting around a bar with a bunch of his other science fiction writers. And he's like, you know what? You know, they had a bet of how, you know, to really make money in this world. And he's like,
it comes basically.
And he's like, you want to make money?
Start
a religion. And they're like, ah, bullshit. You can't start a religion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what happens
is hearsay,
that he writes Dianetics, the book, mm-hmm. and it becomes a bestseller.
As a
result of writing, you know, it becoming a bestseller, he becomes rich. Mm-hmm. And as a result of him becoming rich, that's when he decides he's going to, you know, incorporate into this church and make it a religion. And that's 1953, and that's where that whole
thing
starts.
And that's when everybody pretty much believed anything anybody said, because 9 out of 10 doctors prefer camels.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Do you have a cough? Do you have asthma? Camels. Well, I've been choking to death all my life. I has asthma, but camels.
The Flintstones were hawking cigarettes back then, okay?
Yes, exactly.
That was the mental state.
Yeah, man.
The Flintstones were hawking Winstons. But this is great. He called it the Church of Scientology and established it in 1954.
Right.
Hubbard claimed that 4 quadrillion years ago.
No one knows what number that means.
Carbon dating was invented.
First of all, no one even knows back in 54 how to spell that word. And nobody
invented quadrillion.
Yeah.
The scientist took that from
many, 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 many years later. George W. Bush thought he invented the word, but he called it Brazilian.
Brazilian years ago.
Yes.
At the origin of the universe were godlike spirits called Thetans. Now, this is what I really think happened. And it's very similar to Satan. Now,
Satan, Thetan.
You're talking about the Thetans. I think they're called Thetans, right? Listen, oh, they're called Thetans?
This is the thing. I'm thinking about this, and I'm, like, reading it, Thetans.
Whatever, yeah.
I think he just bumped into somebody who is, like, very religious and very scared about his own well-being, who had a lisp and was like, I got the Thetans in me. I got to get the Thetan devil out of me. And he's like, ah, Thetan.
No,
Thetan.
But read this. Nobody will know.
No, read this. I think that's really
what
happened.
This whole chunk here kind of summarizes, A, how it started. You know, he wanted to make money, and he wanted to be rich. Then, and B, where he got the philosophy for the philosophy of the church.
Right.
And then, you know, the origins of the people who were in it. So just go ahead. Kick it.
But a tyrannical overlord named Xenu imprisoned the Thetans, or Thetans,
and shipped
the frozen bodies to
Tegeac.
Tegeac.
A planet now called Earth.
That sounds like someplace in fucking East New Jersey.
Yeah, in Teaneck, New Jersey, yeah.
A planet now called Earth. Look, I'm telling you, this guy was pulling shit from all over the place to make this shit up.
He believed humans were Thetans who could regain their immortality through climbing the stages of enlightenment set up by Scientology.
Uh-huh.
He also began refitting ships and recruiting children for his Sea Org. He was 56 when he set sail in 1967 and wandered the high seas, getting kicked out of foreign ports. Hubbard claimed to be recovering treasures he buried in some of his past lives and even went looking for a space station.
It
was during this time. I went looking for a space station, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like under fucking my neighbor's cocaine pile. It was
a hubcap from a 1956 Buick.
Yeah, it was
your space station.
It was during this time that he showed a select number of his followers his research about Thetans. After reading the Xenu story, some, like Hubbard's son Quentin, threw up violently. Quentin later told a church officer that, personally, I think my father's crazy. The next day, he disappeared from the headquarters in Clearwater. A few days later, he was found in Las Vegas in a car with a vacuum tube that led from the exhaust through the passenger's vent window. 2 weeks later, on November 12, 1976, he died in the hospital. Hubbard's reaction was reportedly, that little shit has done it to me again. Anyway.
he was a good father.
Yeah.
He was good.
Well, what's interesting about the dude is that everything this article will tell you, I mean, we'll read on, but basically... everything that he claims the philosophy of his church is about is the antithesis of who he was as a person.
Yeah.
Is basically what it comes down mm-hmm. to. And a lot of it is fictitious, not just obviously based on science fiction, but a lot of it is made up about who he is, what he did, and how, you know, how many. Well, yeah.
Isn't that kind of mm-hmm. par for the course as far as religion is concerned?
Well, you know what?
Yeah, I'm serious.
No, you know what? Absolutely. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking, what's the difference between this and fucking Catholicism?
Exactly.
What's the difference between this and fucking Muslims?
I'll tell you what
Muslims?
The difference.
What?
I'll tell you what the difference is.
That these motherfuckers own a big building on Hollywood Boulevard.
I'll tell you what the difference is. And it goes later on to why they're so such control freaks or whatever.
Yeah.
But see, when you're like most religions, like Christianity, Catholicism, that gets pounded into your head when you're young.
Right.
You know, that stuff you get taught that when you were young. And that's kind of like sets the tone, sets the basis for what you believe.
Right.
No matter what you decide later on in life.
You're
ingrained with that. So it's like when somebody dies, you automatically go, oh, you're going to a better place. But this guy.
He starts in 1954.
Exactly. And most of the people that he has to convince, because people aren't getting born into this yet, he has to convince grown-ass adults. Right. So he has this fantastical idea, you know, with all of these, you know, with all of these things.
Right.
And
I call it a fantastical idea. But go ahead.
But that's the thing.
You're
is
on
that
to something.
That's why it's so
radical.
With the clear. It's radical.
No, it's radical.
With the clearing. You have to break people down in order to shove this in people's heads.
Well, if you look
that's
at the
why
movie,
they're so, that's why they're so yeah. The
if you look at the movie The Master, again, that movie's loosely based on the character of L. Right. Ron Hubbard, where you're breaking this poor guy down who's already a fucking beaten, broken.
You have to break
soul.
Down somebody down to like their base,
put it this
childlike,
way. Put
you
it
know,
this way.
Point.
The people who are most susceptible to religious propaganda and religious manipulation are people who are quote unquote lost, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, remember I opened up the show by saying that the only way you're going to change is by being in enough pain. So when you fucking beat the fuck down, you're at the point of no return. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a drug addict, an alcoholic, you've stabbed your mother, you know, you've raped your fucking aunt, whatever you
do. That's the time when you turn to religion when nobody else will fucking talk to you anymore.
Correct, correct. That's what I'm saying. So you're lost, right? And mind you, the interesting thing about this is that it's 1954. Fast forward, he's got 10 years. Think about this. He's got 10 years because right around 1964, where the fucking age of Aquarius and everyone's a fucking hippie and everyone's willing to like, love, power. You're catching everybody at the perfect time.
Oh, when their heads are actually open a little bit.
Where their heads are up somebody else's ass. Exactly. But open.
Yeah, their heads are finally open because they've been under this, you know, cruel repression for how, of course there's going to be some kind of pushback, some rebellion.
So this is the 60s, right? This is 1965, let's say, the age of Aquarius, the Vietnam War starting. So there's a lot of this shit that if you sell
used
it,
a lot of that to his advantage.
Sure, absolutely. Sure. But I'm saying if you read Dianetics, which I have the book. I mean, I just
gave mine away.
No, I mean I started reading it and then I said, man, if I keep reading one more line, I'm gonna have to join because I am that fucked up. Sometimes you just gotta close the book. You know what I mean? He's got to close the book.
Literally, I had that book. I don't know why I had it.
I bought the book, dude.
I didn't buy it. I had it. I stole it from somebody or something. I don't know. Yeah. I found it in the gutter. But I just took it to the Jewish Women's Council and donated that book. So that's, I don't know how.
Because you can't sell it on eBay.
I don't know what they're going to think of me because, you know, it's the young Jewish Women's Council giving them a book on Dianetics.
But it's an interesting. It's the ultimate,
scam. The ultimate.
Well, it's the ultimate.
He did it.
It's the ultimate.
He fucking did it.
It's the ultimate carnival pitch. Mm-hmm. Hey, are you lost? Check this out.
That's what born again Christians are.
You're kidding me?
On.
Of course.
You know.
Do you have
never
problems?
Trust a born again Christian because deep down inside they are fucked.
Do you have problems with your wife? Do you have a have you fallen out of favor with your family? Do you talk to your mother? When's the last time? Do you have a really good relationship? These are all things that 99% of us suffer from. I mean, we're humans, right?
Right.
So so this is the 60s. So by the 1970s, right, the church had moved its core operations to L.A. Ho! L.A., the land of fucking plasticity.
You wouldn't get away with this shit in New York.
No. Although that's where I went to the Church of Scientology in Times Square.
Well, there's some crazies out there, but the majority of the people are pretty wise on the side.
But here, the thing about this organization is that they go, for instance, they mentioned Clearwater. Mm-hmm. A few times here. Clearwater is where they have one of their biggest headquarters, and by the time the community found out that it was the Church of Scientology, it was too late. Mm-hmm. Because when they bought the property, they were called Church Sciences or something. That's why they have 50 million incorporated subsidiaries under the one umbrella. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And they just dug right in.
And they're all independent of each other, so to speak, but they're all dependent or they all answer to the umbrella of the big one. So they're not independent, like one local church can like steer off from the philosophies and practices of the. It's an interesting. It's interesting. I mean, you've had your run-ins with them. I've had my run-ins with them. I don't have any negative experiences with them. In fact, if I was to go with my experiences with them, I'd join. I'm being honest.
Yeah, they tried to get me to join, man.
Dude.
And, you know, my girlfriend came out of there crying.
Dude. She,
at my girlfriend at the time, they came in, have a little personality test. We went in there. I came out laughing, going, that was a great fucking thing.
I went in
thing.
There.
And
you
she
have a
came
personality
out
test.
Crying, saying, I'm a horrible person. And they showed me how bad of a person I was. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You just took a 45-minute personality test.
45 minutes?
Yeah. And then,
mine was only five.
No, back in the 90s.
No, mine was five in Times Square. They said, you got a fucked up personality. I said, oh, yeah.
After the fifth question.
I said, you know,
there was 200 questions. You just didn't go past
fuck
five.
Fuck that. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
We sat there for 45 minutes, 200, 250 question personality tests. I went in there And this guy's telling me how bad I am and what a bad person. And I know I'm a good person. I don't need anybody to fucking, you know, tell me I'm a bad person or a good person or whatever.
Well, that's subjective.
But
you think you're a good person, but
I'm a good person.
You could be fucked up.
Of course I'm fucked up. But I'm a good person. I'm very balanced. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
She came out like in tears, man. In tears. She bought two books. I sat down. I'm like, are you kidding me? What do you think they're trying to do? They're trying to tell you how bad you are and then tell you that you can't, you know, that you need the books.
Well, here's an interesting information. So
it's like telling you your teeth are yellow, you're too yellow, you need to buy the toothpaste.
By the 1970s, the church had moved its core operations to L.A. As early as 1955, an editorial in a church-affiliated publication urged Scientologists to recruit celebrities. There wasn't much success until the 1970s when people like the actress Kirstie Alley, who happens to be one of the oldest celebrities in the organization, and the screenwriter Paul Haggis became devotees. Now, Paul Haggis is a screenwriter and he's also a director, right? He wrote Crash and he wrote... Google him. Paul Haggis... if you don't know him, it's Haggis. He wrote an article. He also defected, and he wrote an article. I believe it's in the New Yorker on the Church of Scientology, and it's a brilliant article. And this is before this guy Wright wrote his book.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is before when people like actress Kirstie Alley and the screenwriter Paul Haggis became devotees. John Travolta began taking Scientology courses before his audition for the TV show Welcome Back, Kotter. And fellow students pointed in the direction of ABC Studios to telepathically communicate, "We want John Travolta for the part." Anyway, he got the part. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think that's how it probably happened because, you know, they were just using the secret. You know,
well. Here's the deal. Travolta's personal liaison and best friend at the church was a woman named Spanky Taylor. Now, she's a very interesting woman because she would soon run afoul of the leadership of the church, even as Travolta became a superstar with Saturday Night Fever. The church took away Taylor's 10-month-old daughter and crammed her along with 30 infants in the child care org. They have all these different like spin-offs. They have the Sea Org, the Child Org, and it's not uncommon within their organization for defectors to talk about how as kids they were taken away from their parents. They were removed from their parents to work in these slave camps. And when I say slave camps, basically you're working in the building, let's say, putting together fucking pamphlets for the church for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting paid. You don't get to see your parents. A lot of these people don't believe in modern day medicine, so they don't take their people who are sick to doctors. A lot of people die. And these motherfuckers, none of them go to jail because...
It's unfortunate, but maybe you're weeding out the people that need to be in Scientology. I don't know.
Well, that's another issue. Let me continue here.
I don't want them, you know, blocking my way when I'm trying to walk down the street, you know.
Let me continue with this. So let me see. Much of the human rights abuse charges against Scientology would be related to the RPF, the Rehabilitation Project Force, which basically is another one of their fucking sub-organizations where if you're fucked up and you got problems, they take you to the Rehabilitation Project Force, and then under their care, if you die for whatever reason, they, you know. Anyway, back then the FBI raided them, and now the Rehabilitation Project Force, now if you go in there, they have their members sign a disclaimer. So these guys
I can't believe it's still going on.
Amazing. So just a few months earlier, one of the few black members of Sea Org, Jesse Prince, had said he'd had enough of the church, but before he could leave, six people grabbed him and put him in RPF for 18 months. Few tried to escape, but Taylor managed. That's Spanky Taylor. I love that name, Spanky. Hey, baby, how you doing? What's your name? I'm Spanky. Really? My name is Palm. Arnold Palm.
Anyway. Let's get together and do something.
Yeah, sometime. Anyway, few tried to escape, but Taylor managed to slip away to see her daughter across the street at the child care org. To her horror, the baby's eyes were welded shut with mucus, and her diaper was wet. In fact, her whole crib was soaking. She was covered with fruit flies. Wright writes, Taylor herself was again pregnant and stuck in a black basement. She feared she'd lose both of her babies. She managed to escape with her daughter with the help of Travolta's assistants. Anyway, so this guy, David Miscavige, who is the guy who is the head of the organization, whom you remember was L. Ron Hubbard's personal assistant and his videographer back in the day in the early 50s.
He knew all the secrets.
Yeah. David Miscavige was taught Dianetics as a child, and he claims it cured him of asthma. Actually, he continued to be plagued by it when he was young. He apparently suffered from asthma seizures that made him violent against anyone who touched him, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Miscavige rocketed up the church's ladder and was Hubbard's trusted enforcer by the 1980s. By this time, Hubbard had disappeared from public view, living in a luxurious mobile home in California, dealing only with Miscavige, then 23, and Hubbard's second-in-command, Pat Broeker. Miscavige ordered that $1 million be transferred to Hubbard every week. Hubbard died in January 24th, 1986. Miscavige and the church say Hubbard did not die, but moved on to the next level. L. Ron Hubbard discarded the body he had used. That's their belief. Hubbard's former chef remembered seeing Broeker and Miscavige ecstatic after the death. Soon, Miscavige pushed out Broeker and declared him an unwanted suppressive. Miscavige became the leader of the church and chose as his lieutenant Marty Rathbun, who rose to fame because of his fearlessness. One night, while escorting Diane Coletto, a 25-year-old editor of a Scientology magazine, home, Coletto's distraught husband, John, who had been detained in the RPF, the Rehabilitation Project, whatever the fuck that was, escaped and shot Diane to death. While a Rathbun chased him off, John's decomposing body was found 3 days later, his wrist slashed. Rathbun later defective. Anyway, let me see what I can do here. Anyway, all right. So Tom Cruise was introduced to the church by his wife at the time, the actress Mimi Rogers, who grew up practicing Scientology. Miscavige asked to meet him, and they became close friends. When Miscavige wanted Rogers out of the picture because her parents practiced Scientology outside of the church's guidance, which is another thing. Some people, they take the philosophy and they go outside of the organization, even the small churches, and they claim to be practicing Scientology, and then the church disowns you, and it's, you know, which is what happened, outside of the church's guidance. Rathbun went to her home with divorce papers. Miscavige served as best man in Cruise's subsequent weddings, and Cruise modeled his character in A Few Good Men on Miscavige. Anyway, let me fast forward. In 1992, this is an interesting thing. In 1993, after a prolonged fight, the IRS settled with the church over its tax-exempt status. Miscavige was able to regain the status after the government's disastrous handling of the Branch Davidian siege in Waco, Texas, by paying only $12.5 million of the $1 billion, which would have bankrupted the church in back taxes it owed. But over the years, there were also mounting lawsuits and investigations, usually by former Sea Org members accusing the church of abuse, or by prosecutors charging the church with negligence when Scientologists die, possibly from lack of medical care. For example, in 1995, a Scientologist named Lisa McPherson died after a mental breakdown. The death was later ruled accidental. So Paul Haggis, whom I mentioned earlier, who was one of the early celebrity members, won an Academy Award for his screenplay for Million Dollar Baby and Crash. He's one of the guys that defected. Anyway, it's a very multi-level, complex organization. And, you know, the interesting thing is, as you said, what's the difference between this and regular religion? And I was having the same thing. I was having the same thoughts. It's like, there's no fucking difference.
There's no difference between any of them, any of the religions out there. There really isn't. I mean, yeah, you're in the details, sure. But, I mean, you get a bunch of people that believe a certain way, and they all get together and believe the same thing. And then, you know,
It's just like a bunch of people like to shop at Ralph's, a bunch of people like to shop at Target, a bunch of people like to worship this, that, whatever works for them. Religion, I think, is a good thing. You know, it gives people something to do, keeps them distracted, keeps them off the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know.
It's definitely a good thing.
No, I'm serious.
About the... About the people locked up in there. If that's their choice,
one of the things
to let that happen.
One of the things that I was reading before is that last year, Leah Remini, if you remember, she was on King of Queens, right? King of Queens. Anyway, by the way, she happens to be married. She owns Vivian's, the restaurant that we go to.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Her husband Angelo,
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rican dude. Remember I tell you he's a Puerto Rican dude. Did you meet him before?
No, I don't think so.
Leah Remini, she just left last year. But Jenna Miscavige, who happens to be David Miscavige's niece, said, good for her. David isn't going to be pleased. But Jenna Miscavige, 29, a third-generation Scientologist who left the organization when she was 20 in 2005, she said Scientology definitely does use families in order to get people to do what they want them to do. They know people care and love for their families. Basically, you know, they separate you from your parents and then they manipulate you individually. Mm-hmm. It's just like separate, mind control. And
it's, you know, I guess it's unfortunate because, you know, and, you know, I said, oh, good for them if it works for them. But a lot of times, you know, people are in it so deep, they can't really see what's going on. They're like, you know, frogs in a boiling pot of water. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't, you know, you turn up the heat slowly and they're going to boil to death. They're not going to jump out of the water.
Right.
And that's, I think, a lot of times what happens to these people in any type of cult or situation like that. You know, they get in it. They get in it so much that they don't have a foot in reality any longer.
Yeah.
And that's and I guess that's when the government should kind of step in and do some checks and balances. I mean, if you're locking babies up, you know, 30 babies in a room in a stinky room and you're not taking care of them, you're locking, you know, 60 people up in a basement in these poor conditions and all of that. I mean, but, you know, apparently the government, they're either getting paid off or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. When the FBI raids, you know, in the 70s and nothing much came of it. And you know, you have these conditions, you know, that are described by these people, you know.
Yeah.
Either it was either it wasn't or.
Well, I have some interesting thing. The thing is that this organization has got billions of fucking dollars, billions of dollars. Oh, yeah. And they have people who work for them for 8 hours and they barely get paid $50 a fucking week because they get fed.
Well, that's why they have billions of dollars.
But the interesting thing is that I think it was a week ago or so, the Church of Scientology, which, you know, they hold seminars over there at the Celebrity Center in Hollywood, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they also have, like, posts for actors to, like, do some of their training videos. Mm-hmm. And you think, again, a billion-dollar organization, right? You think that would pay fucking actors SAG scale, right? Think about this, right? How many of those wanted actors, like, auditions? And actors in L.A., they'll go and audition for this shit. And they basically pay you, like, $60. Think about this shit. Mm-hmm. They go non-union. When you got John Travolta, fucking Tom Cruise...
Disney.
It's ridiculous.
It works for Disney. They use all non-union crews, all non-union background.
Anyway,
you know?
That's how
you keep your money.
Recently,
you don't give it away.
Recently, they ordered 180 pizzas from Papa John's. And basically, it was 60 plain cheese, 20 vegetarian, and 100 of your standard issue pepperoni. It took two delivery men, four trips to deliver all the pizza. However, when they presented the check for $2,094.89, they received nothing for a tip. Nada. Zilch. Zero. Right? The Papa John's manager gave each of the delivery guys $10 as a consolation prize. However, TMZ actually saved the day. After reporting the slight, a representative from the church contacted them saying that senior officials were shocked and embarrassed and sent over $300. It said these people, I understand they make a lot of fucking money. They make a gazillion dollars and it's just... Listen, it's a crazy organization. Let me give you my experiences with them. One day, I was walking down Melrose near Fairfax, and you know they have these individual independent churches all over the place. They could be storefronts. And I saw this punk rock dude, like this, like, it looked like a homeless kid, you know, like homeless white kids with dreadlocks.
Spare changer.
Yeah, spare changer, except he was handing out Scientology pamphlets, right?
For spare change.
No.
He was getting paid spare change by Scientology.
He had a pregnant white chick with him, and she was holding a baby. Uh-huh. Okay, which, again, perfect example. These guys are the perfect candidates because they're fucked up. They're done. They're gone. You're fucking 19 years old and you got nothing to live for.
Yeah.
And you just started out.
That's who you get.
Motherfucker comes up to me and he goes, what does he say to me? He says, if you could be anything in your life, what would it be? That's what he says. He asked me. And I said, Tom Cruise. That's what I'd like to be. Could you help me with that? I said, could you help me with that?
What'd he say? Scientology can help me with that.
I kept it going.
I
kept it going. So let me give you my other experience with Scientology. So Pasadena, in downtown, Old Town Pasadena, there was a building there called the Braley Building. It's an old bicycle manufacturing building. Mm-hmm. I was going by there one day, and they had five windows, and they had paintings. And so there was a sign, if you'd like your paintings here, call or email. I emailed the dude because most of you may or may not know that I'm also a painter. And I emailed the guy, and he responds right away, calls me like within fucking an hour. Right? He goes, hey, because I sent him a link to my website and that thing. He goes, hey, I love your paintings. When can you have your paintings here? But I said, well, I have them ready. I mean, anytime you want. He goes, how about tomorrow? Why don't you bring the paintings tomorrow? So I put my paintings right on the window, and
something sounds fishy.
I know it sounds fishy.
That sounds a little fishy.
I know it sounds fishy. You know what? I'm going to put a photo of it on Nestorius Public Radio of the windows. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. Yeah. It was on Lake. Not on Raymond off of Colorado Avenue. Uh-huh. Massive quantities of fucking people walking by all the mm-hmm. time. Anyway, I had an opening for the show. I had called the show for Schnizzle, Five Windows of Funk, right? But I had to pass it by one of the heads of that particular church, because what they were doing was they bought the building and they were going to convert it into a local church. I didn't know that. Uh-huh. Anyway, this guy who I spoke with was Steve Gates. Steve Gates is a Scientologist, really nice fucking guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, my experience with them has been nothing but pleasurable, right?
Right.
So I have five windows of my fucking paintings. I have about, I don't know, 10 of my best paintings mm-hmm. on display for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know?
Look, man, let me tell you something about nice people and all that. Look, you're not gonna like gather a lot of people into your church if you're an asshole on the get-go.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Go join Scientology and then see what it sounds like.
No, I'm not gonna join Scientology. But I'm saying you
would be inclined to do so. And they all, you know. And
no, it's funny that you say that. Let me read a quote from Paul Haggis and why Paul Haggis had a falling out. He basically said. He said, once when he talked to Steven Spielberg, this is Paul Haggis, the director mentioned that I've met all these Scientologists and they seem like the nicest people. Paul Haggis says, yeah, we keep all the evil ones in the closet. That's the deal. Mm-hmm. Anyway, listen, we're out of time.
We're done.
Yow. We double dizzle the drizzle. Don't stop motherfucking for schnizzle. I got five windows of funk. You motherfucking stink. You smoke some skunk. You know what I mean? We're coming. We're coming at you raw. Fuck the law. You know what I'm saying? Smoke some cheeseburgers because you want some more. Anyway, yo, we're back, man. We're live and direct. Expect the shows to be on point. Check us out on iTunes, Nestorius Public Radio. Tell your friends, man. You know, we gotta catch up on some of the old shows. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/ Nestorius Public Radio. I will post a photo of the five faux schnizzle, five windows of funk, my paintings at the Braley Building, the now Pasadena Church of Scientology on Raymond Avenue. And that's it, man. Thank you so much for checking in. Happy New Year, man. Remember, fuck all those New Year's resolutions, man. Smoke crack, you know what I mean? Snack out the back and all that. You know what I mean?
Ooh-wee, it's me. shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me to hold it long.